As we come together this week, I want to say thank you to each of you for allowing my wife and I to come and to be with you this week. I'm excited about the things that are going on, and I'm very excited that you're a congregation that wants to win souls, that has that desire. Souls are the most precious thing that there is on the face of this earth. You could acquire all kinds of gold and silver and lands and houses and many possessions, but they still don't even come close to the value of one soul. Guys, we've got a job to do. We live in a world that is lost in sin. They do not know it. They are struggling, and they are having many problems. Problems that are often brought on simply because they're not following what the Lord has directed them. But as with, I believe, the Lord's churches at whole, a lot of times we're wondering what can we do to win souls. We feel like we're it's kind of hopeless at times. We've tried often to reach one or two individuals that we would like to see obey the gospel, probably many more than that. And you know what? We get a lot of no's. No, I don't want anything to do with that. Or no, I know everything there is to know. We get that a lot when we knock doors. People say, well, I read the Bible one time. I say, I know it all. But we need to understand a principle that Jesus gave us in the book of Matthew in chapter 7. He said, not everyone that saith, well, in verse 13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is a principle there that you and I need to take to heart. And when we try to talk to somebody about the gospel, we need to remember that that principle is there. Because when we understand that what Jesus said, and somebody says no, it's not going to discourage us. Because we already know that Jesus said that most will be lost. I don't look at no's as a discouraging thing. Yes, I want them to be saved. I look at a no as a way to help me get on to the next person that will obey the gospel. We get discouraged, don't we? Well, I tried to reach so-and-so. I tried to teach my neighbor. And I tried this and I tried that. But they said no. That's okay. That's not a problem. The problem is that Satan's going to use that to tell you that you don't need to do it anymore. You need to get discouraged and just give it up because it's useless. That's Satan's tool. You know, the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices, but sometimes we are. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of us have our faith in God? How many here have faith in God? Let's just raise hands, you know. All right, we've got faith in God. I'm going to drop down a few verses. Or back up a few verses in Matthew chapter 7. Remember what Jesus said? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now you know that passage, right? You've heard it many times, and you know that Jesus said that. So how many of us here have faith? Jesus said, ask, and you'll receive. Are we praying every day for souls? Matthew 9:37. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. Brethren, I want every one of you every day to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. You believe? Jesus said to ask. You need to ask. He also said, seek and ye shall find. You know what? We could ask for a lot of things, but we don't get out of our seat and get out and try to do what we can. Are we seeking? No. I think that's pretty plain. A lot of times we want things to happen, but we want somebody else to do it. Now, keep in mind, there is work for each and every Christian. In Newton, we've got a congregation of people that are new Christians. Every one of them. Those that have been Christians the longest have been Christians about 4.5 years. And it's kind of amazing to me because all of those are busy doing something to win souls. Mary and Ward, there's a lot they can't do, but you know what they do? They get together at the building and we've cut the phone book so that they've just got Newton phone numbers. And they sit and make phone calls and set up Bible correspondence courses. And then they send them out. They can't walk. Mary has lupus. Right now, we've got the call. She was in the hospital. And she couldn't remember who she was because she had an infection from the lupus. She can't get out in the sun. Because if she goes out and does much of anything, then she's out of services for 2 weeks. But she can go to the building and make phone calls. Ladies cook. Dorothy did a wonderful job cooking for us this morning and providing a wonderful place to stay. We just love that hospitality. There's so much that everybody can do, but everybody needs to be doing. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. So we need to be busy seeking the lost. As we look at things, I want to try to take the word evangelism and I want to do an acrostic of that word. And so as we go through that, I want to look at each detail. Now there's a lot of things that would be involved in this. And there's other things that could come into this, but I want to just give us some ideas on things that we can do to bring about the successful winning of souls. Now keep in mind, when I said successful, Noah was successful. Jeremiah was successful. Ezekiel was successful. Your job is to do the teaching. To reach out to those that are lost. To try to help them to obey the gospel. We do the teaching. It's their responsibility to do the responding. And so when I use that word successful, I use it kind of tongue in cheek. But don't use the fact that most will be lost as an excuse to not go out and do our part. That's where we need to make sure that we're doing what God expects. In other words, the first thing that we want to look at is in evangelism is every member acting. Every member acting. You know, that's one thing that will make a congregation to grow. The scary thing about the Lord's church, in my observation over the years, as a general rule, the longer an individual is a Christian, the less they do. That's pretty sad commentary. We wonder sometimes today why the Lord's church isn't growing. A lot of times they say, well, you're not fancy enough. You don't go with the new stuff that so many are doing that attracts the people. That's not the reason. I know that many of us live in some pretty, pretty tough communities. Okay? But I believe a lot of the reason that we are not successful is because we're not active in soul winning. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we see an example there of when the Christians in the first century were persecuted and they were scattered out from Jerusalem. And in verse 4 it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now that's quite a motivated crew, isn't it? When they were scared out of their homes, when they had to get out of Dodge, they went everywhere teaching that which was that they had to run from. The fact that they were Christians. They were teaching others about what God had to say so that they could find the way home. Guys, you and I must not be ashamed of the Word. Now I realize that in our society, the Lord's church, we're known for those that don't use instruments. I know that a lot of times we're looked at and we're a little different because of some of the things that we do or don't do. Where oftentimes there's different words that have been used to have been called a cult. Of course, remember what they were called in the first century. They had numerous terms that they used. They called the way, you know, they called the sect of the Jews. They had many derogatory terms that were used about them, and possibly the word Christian may have been used for that reason, started for that reason. But you know what? They didn't let that stop them. They went everywhere preaching the word. Every member was active in reaching out and teaching the souls. Remember Dorcas? What'd she do? Is a lady that spent time in doing good to have that influence in the community. Ladies, there's so much you can do. You may not take the public part in worship, but you know what? I've never seen that as a bad thing. You know, our world may see that as a bad thing, but God doesn't. We just all got different work to do, and believe me, your work is very, very important. So every member needs to be active. The second thing, we need to understand that visitation is practice. Visitation is practice. When I got the call Monday, was it Monday? I think it was Tuesday, about Mary going to the hospital. The first thing that I did was I called one of the members of the church and I said, Mary is in the hospital and you need to let everybody know about what's going on. Well, I've already gotten calls from other members of the congregation, new Christians, that have said, well, we went here to see her and this is the situation. One of the things that, as the Lord's church, we need is to be a very inviting, loving group. Where when one of the members is hurting, others are hurting with that member. They're praying, they're checking up, they're seeing what can be done to make sure that things are taken care of. I want to tell you something about people in the world. They don't have that. And I talk to individuals that in the denominational world, and they tell me how, well, that's basically what the church is just a big social organization. Well, it doesn't matter what the denominational world thinks, and it doesn't matter what the world thinks, because God teaches us that we need to look out for one another, that we need to be there to help and to encourage and to motivate. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 36, that parable that Jesus taught, speaking about, for as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto my brethren. Jesus said in verse 36, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I in prison and you came unto me. Guys, we need to be there for each other. We need to be a loving, inviting group. We need to be the kind of group where individuals that are out in the world can come in and say there's a lot of love in those people. Because I tell you what, they live in that dog-eat-dog world out there. And if it's a dog-eat-dog world in the Lord's church, why on God's green earth would you want to be a part of it? Now, you and I, sometimes we have our little differences and struggles and problems. Newton's no different. We've got new Christians, and we've been having an issue with two of our new members. One was baptized in April and one in June, and one, he'd been in prison about 30-some years of his life, and so here he's been on the inside, and then Ward, he became a hood ornament numerous years ago, and hit by a pickup truck and dug for a quarter of a mile, and so Ward is got a lot together, but sometimes he doesn't think. He speaks out, sometimes he talks a little loud. And you know what? They kind of got to the tip with each other. But you know what? They're working through it. Do we have tips with one another once in a while? We better be working them out in the love of the Lord. Because if we can't get along here, I don't think we're going to make it to heaven. Because in heaven, there's no unhappiness, guys. And so if you've got differences, you need to remember the scriptural guideline on what to do. You need to make sure that you care. James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, for pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We need to be doing that. And then we need to remember Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 where it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So yes, we especially do it to each other, but I tell you what, you've got some neighbors that need some help. You've got some neighbors that live down the street that need your help. You've got some people that you've heard about that are not a member of the Lord's church, or maybe you just think that they are a good prospect for the gospel. They may be worldly. They may be a very fine denominational individual. You see something in them. Maybe they just need help. Take care of their needs as you can. God didn't say we're only good to members of the Lord's church. I got news for you. If we're not good to those that are lost, why would they want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why would they want to be a part of that group that doesn't care about them? Guys, we've got work to do. So visitation is practice. It's necessary to keep the saved saved and motivated. And it's necessary to help those that are lost to see that we've got something they need. And I tell you what, I got the greatest family on the face of the earth. I may have left my family miles behind years ago. My physical family. But I've got the greatest family and I'm here with a bunch of them right today. They need to see that. Absentees contracted regularly. I tell you what, in evangelism, we need to understand that we have a responsibility to those that are in the number, whether they are visitors. At Newton, we go through spells, we have lots and lots of visitors. May have had 15 visitors, which would double the congregation there. And you know what? What happens, we try to make sure and try to encourage all the members to visit somebody when they're having a hard time. This past Thursday night, Thursday before last, we had, I gave them a little talk. And I said, you know what, I received a call from a member of the church in another city, and they were having problems in their personal life with a family member. And because of those problems, they were not able to make it to Wednesday night services. Nobody asked why. And they were rightfully hurt. They needed help. You know, a lot of times we don't call. You know why? Because we figure they skipped out and we don't want to get them crosswise with them. What a shame. You better make sure that you're involved with those that have been absent. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, that passage there is very, or verse 1 is very clear. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Normally, when somebody misses services, it's because they're weak and they need to grow up in the faith. Usually, when somebody is not faithful in their attendance, Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday evening Bible study, you know what the problem is? They're on the way out the door. It won't be long, they'll be gone altogether. And so, the rest of us need to make sure that we're involved in checking up on them. And if it's a visitor that comes to our services, we need to be checking up with them too. We need to find out what's going on. We need to find out if there's a possibility of studying with them and what's involved in their lives. We need to make sure that we visit our absentees regularly. Guys, do not wait till a member is back in the world before you say, hey, we need better check on them. Too late. We better check on them the first time they miss. In Newton, it's kind of a rare congregation. We've got basically 100% attendance. Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday afternoon worship, and Thursday night Bible class. And we usually always check on somebody. And I've encouraged the members, anytime you see somebody member missing, call them and see. Third, next one is new members involved. I tell you what, when you are involved in some kind of a work, you have ownership in that work. One of the first things that I try to do when we get new members, those that have obeyed the gospel, is I try to get them involved in some aspect of the work. And when they are involved, in that aspect of the work, I see that their whole demeanor changes because now they've got ownership. Maybe if they can drive what I do, a lot of times have them pick somebody up, and that gives them ownership. But you know what happens, and we're not involved, we come in, we sit in the pew, and we turn around, we go home. Do we get interested? No. We get less and less interested because we punch our time clock and we get out. New members need to be involved in the work of the Lord's people. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We need to help them to be involved so they'll have more of a desire. We need to remember in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15 that Lydia, when she obeyed the gospel, she automatically got involved in the work. She said, look, if you found me to be faithful, stay in my house. I know that's a lot of work. Dorothy has to go to a lot of work. She had to put up with me. Can you imagine that? But she's doing it. And you know what? It's a lot of fun. Even though it's a lot of work. I know that. We keep a lot of people in our home. But we need to all be involved in things that are going on. And so we need to keep new members involved, not just the classes and the worship, but give them good work that needs to be done. We need to also understand that giving is essential. Giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse, or chapter 8 and verse 5. Is something that's so very important that we need to keep in mind. It said, speaking of their giving of their funds, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto us and unto the selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, according to the will of God. And so as we look at that, we need to understand that we need to give of our means. You know, a lot of the evangelism does take money. And we can find so many things to do with our money. But our priority shows in our giving. And you know what? As I watch new members grow, as they grow, I see that change. We still have some new members that are proud to float a dollar into the collection plate. And I know they make a lot more than that. They haven't grown. Now, money is not the essentialness of everything, but it is a requirement of God for you and I to give as we possibly. But I tell you what, when we give ourselves first, you can't help but give the Lord as you've been possible. And if you're going to be able to do a lot of evangelism, it's going to take some money. And where do you think that comes from? I love y'all. Y'all work it hard at doing your own work here. And that can't always be done in all places. You all know you're helping to do work up in Newton. And all those souls that have been saved up there, they're saved as a result of partly what you all have done. You give to the Lord on the first day of the week, you've got enough for your own, and then you've got enough to help some other good works to go forward. Guys, we need to give to see evangelism go forward. We need to remember that it is essential that everyone is to be in Bible class. Everyone in Bible class. You know, that passage that I read a little bit ago of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You know what? It's not talking only to new Christians. I think I was told I've been a Christian for about 70 years. I don't forget a name. I'm terrible with names. That's a pretty good deal. But I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you need to be in Bible class. You need to be in every one. that you could possibly be at. And we've got to do that because it accomplishes numerous things. It encourages us and it encourages our visitors. And our neighbors know whether or not we're there. Because they see what time we leave in the mornings. They see what time we leave on Wednesday evening. They know what's important to you. And you need to be there. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28 says this. The Apostle Paul speaking about his preaching of God, Christ. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Guys, Bible class is essential. If you don't spend time in God's Word, you're not going to know how to be a Christian. If you don't spend time in Bible class, listening and paying attention and getting involved in it, you're not going to know the way to heaven. And there's so much good encouragement that comes from that. We need to do that so that we can have this wisdom so that we can be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. It's so easy to ignore that. And the older a congregation grows and the more they develop over the years, sometimes those things kind of slip into cracks. And I'll tell you something. I believe a lot of the things that are hurting the Lord's church today is we've got children that have been grown up in Christian homes. They've obeyed the gospel. They've listened to those sermons, or at least they sit in the pew and listen to those sermons. When they obey the gospel, we don't begin to go back and teach them all the things that they need to hear. In fact, what's really a crying shame is we baptize somebody in the community and we don't sit down and spend another 6 months to 2 years teaching them specially about the Lord's church and the things they need to know. We have ongoing classes in Newton because we take those new ones and we invite our community members to come and to be a part of these Bible classes where we're teaching those new things that a Christian needs to know and we develop them in their faith. It's kind of exciting as we come across things. They say, I didn't know that. And we just expect people are going to get it through the preaching. It ain't going to happen. Preaching is a good thing. In a congregation like this, many of you have been Christians for many years. You've got a lot of knowledge. I can quote verses here. But you know what? When you work in a congregation of people that have been Christians for no more than 4.5 years, some of them just a couple months, you don't do that. I have to write an outline and put the page numbers down so they can follow it in the pew Bible. And you know what they do? There's many times we'll come in for a Bible class and instead of getting one verse, we might get one word of the verse. We spend I don't know how long on James chapter 1 because they have too many questions. They don't know. And also, I don't take the time to, I don't quote verses that new. I give everybody time to get to the pastor. Sometimes I think it's easy as Christians, been Christ Christians a while, and we just know those verses. And we just think, well, you know, just float through this and hurry through it. And years ago, I preached a lesson in Tent Chapel, and I probably quoted 100 verses, and Diane came up to me after that. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but she said something to the effect of, she said an awful lot. I think she was complimenting me. But she said, you said an awful lot. She said, I sure can't keep it all. And I'm thinking, I've done messed up. And that's when I quit quoting. Start giving people time to read, to turn. Guys, we need to be in Bible class. We need to understand that we're commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're about out of time. I'm going to have to move on. The L is for lost people being saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, we see an example of the Apostle Paul there that you and I need to take very seriously. He says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Sometimes we just like to act like a high and holy Christian, and we don't associate and deal with those that are lost. Now, Paul is not saying that he became an ungodly individual. He never left his faith and he didn't get involved in sin, but he rubbed shoulders with every kind of individual. I've sat in hotel rooms with pimps and taught them the gospel. I may have been just a little bit afraid, but I acted like I was comfortable. I knew what was going on. Talked to murderers. Prostitutes. Fighters. Guys, you got to go where they're at. I really think sometimes we need to spend more time focusing on those that are really hurting. Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 came to the poor and the brokenhearted and the drowned, downtrodden. You know why people's lives are like that? Because they don't have the principles of God in their life. Now we may not feel real comfortable with a member of Hell's Angels in our living room. But you know what? They're hurting. And we don't really feel a whole lot real comfortable when they come into our assembly in their dirty clothes. Shame on us. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and the publicans, the Pharisees, and he said, "The Republicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Guys, we need to get comfortable with everybody. I'm telling you. We need to do our best to make them feel like they are a loved individual. We need to go out of our way to make their life grand. We need to go out of our way to make them happy. We need to go out of our way to make them feel comfortable. Because I got news for you. They're the ones that's going to obey the gospel. It's just the way it is. So you go to that junkyard dog. And you talk to them about the gospel. Lost people being saved. The I is for increase. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude, both of men and women." And I understand that in the first century, it was a special time for a special people. It was a special time that the gospel of God would be able to go forth and many would hear, but we still have people that are lost. They may not obey in droves like they did then, but we need to get out and teach them, and the Lord's church will increase when we do what we need to be doing. We will grow spiritually as we're involved in evangelism, and those that are lost and on the outside will begin to see and to understand that Christianity is something so much better than what they've got, because they're living in this depraved lifestyle. They're shacking up together and living in fornication. They're involved in lying and stealing and cheating and hurting one another. And they're hurting and they're wondering, why is life so terrible? And when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and see it in your lives, the church will increase. Maybe not as much as we'd like for it to. I know we're in tough times. But I'm kind of like the guy that got off the boat in Africa and nobody had shoes. And he said, "This is a wonderful place to be because everybody needs shoes." And the other one got off and said, "Nobody's got shoes. I can't sell any shoes." I'm kind of like the guy that looks at the society that we're living in, and the people are out there, they're hurting, they're in misery because of their lives, and they think they're happy. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity to teach the gospel to those that are lost. I believe, brethren, that you and I need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, where it says, "Seek and ye shall find." We need to plant the seed in Acts chapter 8 and verse 11. The seed is the Word of God. And God will give the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. We need to also understand that the S involves a high standard. Guys, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then it goes forward to talk to us about staying away from sin and adding the good things to our lives. We as Christians need to have a high standard in our life. A lot of times as Christians we like to play this game to see how close to sin we can get without going over the edge. I tell you what, playing that game, I wouldn't want to be that person on the day of judgment. We need to be the one that's got to set a high standard like Jesus set for Himself. Are we not to be like Jesus? We certainly are in Philippians chapter 2. We must be like Jesus if we're going to see Him. So we need to set a high standard as Christians, and we need to live that life every day. Don't walk through those doors on Sunday and start to automatically live a certain life, and then when you go back out, you live like the world. Try to go along to get along. You need to be that high standard, but also remember that you're going to have to live with them and be involved in their lives. And the last thing is impermissions. We all need to be involved in that. Newton, one of the things that we did when we started having enough contribution to do it is we started sending money to the Ivy work so that part of it, we'd be involved more in that, not just taking, but we're giving back. So we're involved in those missions. We helped an individual wasn't a lot, but helped them to go to Jamaica last year. And it was an encouragement to the congregation. You all are involved in missions, and those are such good things, because as we're involved in that, we're doing what we can. We do it at home, and we spread it abroad. We begin here, and then we go out. Mission. Evangelism, guys. It takes every one of us. Make sure that you're involved. Thank you.